This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
McGahn won't testify. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, May 21st. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Former White House counsel Don McGahn will not appear before the House Judiciary Committee today to answer questions related to the Mueller report.
More severe weather warnings in the plains today after 18 tornadoes struck five states yesterday.
In sports, Golden State swept Portland to reach its fifth NBA Finals in a row. The Warriors await the winner of Toronto-Milwaukee.
And companies that pay their CEOs big money for good and bad performances.
You would think, and companies tend to talk about paying CEOs for performance, but it doesn't always work out that way. It turns out the best performing CEOs made a lot of money, but so did a lot of the worst performing ones.
Wall Street Journal reporter Teo Francis on salaries that don't necessarily match shareholder returns. He's here in about 25 minutes. President Trump has instructed former White House counsel Don McGahn to reject a congressional subpoena. House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler wants Mr. McGahn to testify about the president's efforts to thwart the special counsel's investigation on Russian election interference. Mr. McGahn will not testify this morning. Mr. Trump, by the way, has said he plans to fight all the subpoenas since Democrats took control of the House in January.
We had, I think, 500 people testify. We had 1.4 or 1.5 million documents. At the end of all of that, he said there's no collusion. Now what happens is the Democrats want to redo, and we've had enough, and the country's had enough.
In response, Mr. Nadler's committee is threatening to hold Mr. McGahn in contempt. While the Mueller report outlined efforts by Mr. Trump to curtail or shut down the Russia probe, the special counsel did not pursue charges of obstruction of justice against Mr. Trump. A federal judge says President Trump cannot block a subpoena from a House committee seeking financial records from his longtime accounting firm. U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta yesterday ruled the law was on the side of House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings when he issued the subpoena, which is seeking years of financial statements and other records. As you might imagine, the president disagreed with the ruling.
It's totally the wrong decision by, obviously, an Obama-appointed judge. He was a recent Obama-appointed judge.
Jay Sekulow, an attorney for Mr. Trump, said he'll appeal the decision. The judge's ruling gives a victory to House Democrats who have battled with the White House to obtain documents and testimony on several fronts. The committee had previously sought documents from the accounting firm on a voluntary basis, but the firm said it could not turn them over without a subpoena. The lead forecaster at the Storm Prediction Center says severe weather threats in five states warrants caution, but lacks the same potential as yesterday. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
A total of 18 tornadoes blew through five states yesterday. Parts of Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Missouri, and Arizona were affected. Tornadoes in sparsely populated areas damaged homes and barns in Oklahoma, but no injuries were reported. AccuWeather says the wild weather will continue a pattern of severe storms that have battered the region. Nearly 40 preliminary tornadoes were reported across Nebraska and Kansas last week, and the severe weather continued on Saturday. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Meanwhile, the Storm Prediction Center placed parts of the eastern Texas panhandle and western Oklahoma under a high-risk area for severe weather, the most serious of the five risk categories. The entire Oklahoma City metro area was within that high-risk area.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. for the ones who get it done.
Attention, special Memorial Day announcement ahead. Dell's official Memorial Day event is back, and it's better than ever. You're getting up to $300 off select Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy awesome deals on the latest electronics and accessories like Bose headphones. And remember, free shipping on absolutely everything. Get some of the best deals of the year now, courtesy of Dell. Call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL. Or go to Dell.com/Memorial Day.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Tuesday. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Very special announcement ahead. Get up to $300 off select Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. Call 800-BUY-DELL or go to Dell.com/Memorial Day. In the heart of industrial Northeast Ohio, the Democratic Party has lost its voice to speak to people that shower after work and not before work. That's a frustration aired by the recent chairman of the Mahoning County Democratic Party. David Betras feels Democrats are complaining about President Trump's tax returns while voters see the president fighting China to get better jobs. He says the voters don't care about his taxes. New York Times reporter Trip Gabriel says Mr. Trump has a tight bond with voters who were once staunch Democrats, an allegiance as much cultural as economic. Trip, what did you find?
Well, the headline says it pretty well, but it is a region that, you know, used to vote heavily Democratic. It is in transition. It's steel mills closed there. And most recently, the reason I went is that General Motors shut down a major auto plant in Lordstown that used to make the Chevy Cruze. They've laid off thousands of workers in kind of waves since the Trump's election. Trump was in Youngstown in 2017, telling folks, the jobs are coming back. Don't sell your houses. This is an area that, unlike the rest of the country, you know, where the economy shows a lot of signs of life, the lowest unemployment in 50 years nationally, and even wages starting to rise again. Youngstown, Ohio, and more broadly Northeast Ohio, has not been benefiting from that trend. And so I wanted to see whether the blue-collar voters that have always liked Donald Trump are still with him, and indeed they are.
You get the sense that they are not holding the closing of that Lordstown plant against the president, but maybe somewhat, I guess, applaud the fact that at least he tried to prevent its closing?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, and this is, you know, when you think about it, not that surprising. They blame GM for shutting down the plant. They don't necessarily blame the president, and he gets tremendous credit for, as the Democratic congressman from that area, Tim Ryan, says, punching China in the nose. I mean, they like Donald Trump because he is a battler. He talks about jobs. He talked about jobs there when he was running. He talked about the devastation of globalization and deindustrialization and free trade deals that hurt this part of the country, you know, and the Rust Belt, broadly speaking. And it speaks as well to the tariffs, primarily against China now at this point, that are starting to take a bite on a lot of people's livelihoods, particularly farmers in the Midwest. They, you know, are enduring pain in the short term and willing to do that because they think that the president is out there fighting hard to get them better jobs.
I'm speaking with Trip Gabriel, national correspondent at the New York Times, and he's written a piece entitled "There's No Boom in Youngstown," a reference to Ohio, but blue-collar workers are sticking with Trump. You quoted more than one Democratic official who said that that party's message is just not resonating with voters there. How come?
They feel like that the only message for this particular voter is a jobs-focused message. And, you know, they look around and they see all the momentum in Washington to get the president's tax returns, lots of talk about impeachment these days, and national Democrats often think that that's what's on voters' minds. It is not what's on voters' minds in a place like Northeast Ohio, and I think we extend that to places like Western Pennsylvania and Southeast Michigan and parts of rural Wisconsin.
What happens over the course of the next, I don't know, say year, you know, ahead of election time? The Democrats try to seize that message and make it their own in some way? Because I think you referenced that in ahead of the 2016 election, somebody's message along those lines was ignored too in a message to the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, the Democratic chairman of Mahoning County, which is where Youngstown is, I mean, it's the roots are just deeply Democratic. It's hard to exaggerate that. And Clinton, in fact, carried Mahoning County, but just by a tiny percent, a huge erosion in traditional Democratic support there. The Hillary Clinton campaign thought it had a message to blue-collar workers. It just did not get through. I think the backstory on this is that these are the states that cost Hillary Clinton the presidency. Not so much Ohio, but you know, particularly Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and that's why trying to figure out a way to, if not win back actual people that voted for Donald Trump, that might not be possible in a place like the Mahoning Valley or Youngstown, Ohio, or Northeast Ohio, but to find a message that can bring out another set of voters that did not vote for Clinton in 2016, but would come out and vote Democratic with the right message.
Nice, Tripp. That's Tripp Michael, New York Times reporter. In the story, by the way, he quotes Daryl Franks, a retired tool and die maker who was once a Democrat but now votes Republican. He said, "What I want from a president is the rest of the world to look at him and go, don't mess with that guy. He will get even." Mr. Franks added, "I don't want kinder, gentler." It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a federal judge has sided with House Oversight Committee Democrats seeking to enforce their subpoena of President Trump's accounting firm in a major ruling that aids Democrats' ongoing efforts to probe the president's financial dealings. The subpoena seeks access to a slew of Trump financial documents dating back to 2011, including personal records and records of various affiliated businesses and entities. Democrats pursued the subpoena after former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen testified in Congress that the president's accountants routinely and improperly altered his financial statements to misrepresent his assets and liabilities. House Democrats are facing yet another attempt by President Trump to stonewall their investigations, this time with former White House counsel Don McGahn defying a subpoena for his testimony on orders from the White House. A lawyer for McGahn says his client will skip today's House Judiciary hearing. Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler commented yesterday.
"We're having the hearing tomorrow, and we're expecting Mr. McGahn to show pursuant to the subpoena."
Nadler says the committee would vote to hold McGahn in contempt and take the issue to court. Authorities say a former doctor, now dead, sexually abused at least 177 male students at Ohio State during his 2 decades at the school and faced no consequences until he was briefly suspended and then retired with an honorary title. According to an investigative report, administrators, coaches, and students were aware of Richard Strauss's actions but failed to act. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine.
"Information to the state medical board is completely blacked out. What they knew, when they knew it, we don't know. Members of the public do not know. I find that to be unacceptable."
Ohio State's investigation describes an environment in which Strauss's misdeeds were an open secret and athletes considered the abuse a form of hazing or a rite of passage. Who needs Kevin Durant anyway? Steph Curry and Draymond Green both came up with triple-doubles last night as the Warriors completed a 4-game sweep of the Trailblazers with a 119-117 win in overtime in the Western Conference Finals. ESPN's Mike Breen.
Draymond Green tries a three. It's good! Draymond Green drills the three!
The win vaults the Warriors into their 5th consecutive NBA Finals. They await the Eastern Conference winner between Milwaukee and Toronto.
Two guys with triple-doubles last night? Holy cow.
Don't think you should doubt the Warriors.
Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Complaints about credit reporting, credit repair services, and issues such as errors on individual consumer credit reports made up 43% of all the complaints made to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That's up 23% of total complaints back in 2016 before the infamous Equifax data breach a year later. How to help yourself and save money in the process by Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. Susan, set this up.
Well, of course, you know, we all remember that credit data breach back in Equifax back in 2017. So people are still upset with this. Senator Elizabeth Warren reintroduced some legislation this year which would require the credit reporting agencies to pay $100 for each consumer whose personal data is compromised. That probably is unlikely to go anywhere since Equifax would have had to pay a $1.5 billion penalty. But, you know, we'll see where that goes in Washington. At this point, though, we may see some fines down the road with the FTC and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau still relating to that Equifax breach from almost 2 years ago. We don't have the financial penalties yet, and that's still maybe something on the horizon in the near future. So, you know, credit reporting does get people up in arms, but what we found out is that the complaints about credit reporting are fairly high, according to a recent survey by U.S. PIRG Education Fund. And many of these complaints are about mistakes. People are having trouble fixing their mistakes. So one resource that you do have is if you're having trouble getting a mistake fixed, you can report that with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a federal watchdog agency. So that's something important to know. You know, do you want to review your credit report before you apply for any loan? Because you would be surprised how many mistakes show up.
We're speaking with Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press, part of the USA Today network. She's written a piece about mistakes on your credit report. Is all this, by the way, easily solved with a credit freeze?
Well, I think that's important for identity theft purposes. You know, if you have some identity theft issues, you do want to have a credit freeze. But it can't really be solved if you're trying to get a car loan and you have a mistake on your credit report that's driving up your rate. I think if you're going out and you're applying for a mortgage, if you're applying for a car loan, make sure you get your free annual credit report and try to understand what's on that report first, even before you apply for a loan. It sounds a little cumbersome, and it might sound like, you know, extra work, but it does pay off in the long run to try to fix this before you need to get that loan.
They
say you should look at these reports every year, not just when you're getting a loan, but every year. Of course, with identity theft, anything can happen at any time. But many people, of course, don't do that. So I think the most important thing to do is, a year out, if you know you're going to be applying for a mortgage or getting a new car, maybe starting to buckle down and do some of the things you should be doing.
I got the sense that Michigan was one of the states that makes it fairly easy to report a problem with the Attorney General, right on the website you can do it.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get involved, especially, you know, more actively now, and you can make these claims and, so you can file a complaint. But you really need to fix it first. You need to try to go directly to the agency that has the error, go through that process there, and then if you're not satisfied, then file a complaint.
Susan Tompor, personal finance columnist at the Detroit Free Press. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Does your furniture bring you joy, or are you just one couch or chair away from saying, "This is my home"? Home should be your haven, a place that's uniquely you. Joybird can turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options crafted to your unique taste. If you can dream it, Joybird can transform it into quality, handcrafted furniture. Each piece is made with care and precision, using high-quality hardwood and reasonably sourced materials to fit your expectations. Not 100% sure? Our free personal design consultants can help you nail down your perfect design. And with their 365-day home trial, you can skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Find your joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Go to joybird.com/Gordon and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order today by using the code Gordon at joybird.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Tuesday, May 21. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The former White House counsel will not testify before a House committee today. More severe warnings weather-wise for the Plains states after yesterday brought tornadoes, hail, and flooding. An Alabama man arrested for murdering a veteran Auburn cop. Ford is cutting 7,000 salaried jobs. Airport strike in Italy could cause delays in cities like Rome, and the Texas teenager who beat stage 4 cancer in time to graduate high school. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. The mechanics of chief executive pay have grown ever more complex, but the rules remain simple. Strong performers get a raise. So do most of the rest.
For the fourth year straight, the biggest U.S. companies set CEO pay records in 2018, according to a Wall Street Journal analysis, even as a majority delivered negative stock market returns to their shareholders. Here's reporter Teo Francis. Teo, give us some numbers.
The median pay for S&P 500 CEOs is $12.4 million last year. That means half of them made more than $12.4 million. Obviously, the other half made less, but not always a lot less. You would think, and companies tend to talk about paying CEOs for performance, but it doesn't always work out that way. It turns out the best performing CEOs made a lot of money, but so did a lot of the worst performing ones.
All right. So as you say, there's an often weak relationship between pay and performance. Why is that?
You know, it's a good question because companies spend a lot of time and boards spend a lot of time not only implementing but talking about the ways they tie pay to performance, right? They use stock, they use options, they use performance shares, which, you know, you get more or fewer depending on how well you do on revenue or how well the stock does, that kind of thing. You know, there's all these mechanisms in there that are supposed to fine-tune the bonus, the long-term stock awards, everything but the salary, basically, to how well the company does. And so those mechanisms are there. The question is how well they work. Are boards picking the right threshold? If you pick too easy a threshold, it doesn't matter. The company can perform badly, and the CEO still gets a lot of money. And then also there can be some interesting correlations. One that some researchers out of Cornell and MIT found is that a company that uses pro forma performance numbers, so, you know, adjusted EPS, adjusted EBITDA, that kind of thing, all these, you know, they back out certain things, they add back certain things. When they use those kinds of numbers, pay tends to go up. So a lot of it kind of boils down to garbage in, garbage out. If you have a finely tuned system, but you know, you're using bad inputs or you're using, you know, bad thresholds or measurements, then it's not going to do any good.
All right. So give an example of who got a huge pay raise but provided low shareholder return.
Yeah, well, one of the companies that we looked at is Fluor, an engineering company that, you know, has paid its CEO right around $11, $12 million a year. There's a bit of bumpiness. He's gotten a raise in three out of the last 5 years. And the company has trailed not only the S&P 500 return, you know, median return, but also the median returns for industrial companies and the company in the industry group they're in, capital goods companies. And so, you know, this is sort of 5 years of underperformance, 5 years of pretty hefty pay, and frankly, when you average it out, not a lot of variation. There's raises, but it's not like he got, you know, penalized in bad years particularly. Now, he did lose his job earlier this spring, just before I believe the company reported some surprising results, unpleasantly surprising results to Wall Street. So that's one example.
We're speaking with Teo Francis, Wall Street Journal reporter. He's written a piece entitled "Big Companies Pay CEOs for Good Performance and Bad." You did say toward the tail end of your piece that there actually is a much simpler way that some people support that would tie pay to performance. How does that work?
Well, so there's a bunch of variations on it, but the gist of it is, you know, make CEOs eat their own cooking. And you see that. CEOs get paid heavily in stock and options, but a lot of those are relatively short-term awards. Even long-term awards in the CEO pay world tend to be 3 years. Investors don't tend to really think of 3 years as that long-term. If you want a company to thrive over the long-term, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know, you really need long-term thinking. And one idea to instill that is that you pay CEOs a little heavily in stock, and you make them hold that stock. That they don't get that stock maybe for 5 years. Maybe they have to hold it for 10. There's different variations on this. But I've even heard some people say, you know what, make the CEO hold the stock until he retires, and then for a few years after that as well. So this is you know, there's not a single formula here. It's an idea in flux. You know, 10, 20 years ago, performance shares and some of the mechanisms you see now were the hot new ideas to better tie pay to performance. So time will tell whether these simpler approaches catch hold and whether they work, but I think a lot of people in the industry think it's worth trying.
Thanks, Teo. Teo Francis, Wall Street Journal reporter. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly
on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, here's yet another thing you have in common with Kim Kardashian, Gordon. You both like to use social media to get the attention of companies. Kardashian has more than a few people scratching their heads after she called out fast food chain Jack in the Box on Twitter, but wouldn't say exactly what her issue was. Kardashian kicked off the mystery yesterday afternoon by tweeting to her over 60 million followers, "Hey Jack in the Box, I have a serious complaint, but I won't fully put you on blast. Check your corporate email box or send me a DM with a direct person for my team to contact pronto." It's also worth noting that she didn't actually tag Jack in the Box in her tweet. That didn't stop the chain from finding out about it, however, and they tweeted back at the reality star saying that they were unable to send her a direct message, instead asking her or her team to reach out to them. Twitter users were quick to react to the drama, with many having an issue with Kardashian publicly calling out the restaurant chain. And of course, Jack in the Box's rivals in the fast food world didn't miss the opportunity to take Jack down a peg. Burger King tweeted, "Jack in the Box to the principal's office." While Wendy's got in a dig, channeling the Kardashian clan when they tweeted, "But like, who even goes there?"
Oh, ouch.
Wendy's is always good with this stuff. Wow. They're kind of the world champion of social media.
They're good about that. Here's what I don't understand, though. In her tweet, she said, "I won't fully put you on blast."
Yeah.
But she, I'm just looking now, she has 60 million followers.
Right.
That's pretty much blast if you reference a company on your Twitter account and you have that many followers.
Yes. That's what people were sort of criticizing her for, is that this kind of put them on blast no matter what.
Right.
And then she did follow up later with a tweet saying, I guess, that they did reach out to her, whatever the issue was resolved quickly, and, you know, all is well with the world now. Yeah. So she kind of took them off the hot seat a little later on.
Okay. So there weren't enough French fries and whatever she got or something like that.
I think it had to do with something she saw, some interaction between an employee and a customer or something that she saw there, or something along those lines.
Okay.
That's what she says.
Thank goodness Kim came to the rescue.
Yes. And Jeopardy champion James Holzhauer can't be stopped right now, Gordon. He won his 23rd game in a row last night, bringing his total winnings to over $1.7 million. He's been so good, in fact, that none other than Tom Brady said he would do something he's never done before if Holzhauer lost. Eat a strawberry. The six-time Super Bowl champion tweeted last night that if James lost on Jeopardy, he'd eat a strawberry live on Instagram today. This was a pretty big deal, as Brady claims to have never eaten a strawberry before, and they go against his TB12 diet. However, Brady, who knows a thing or two about winning, was obviously pretty confident that his streak would remain intact. After the victory was sealed, Brady followed up by tweeting, "James doesn't lose and I don't eat strawberries. Keep it moving."
All right. Tom felt the need for what? Some attention? He was lacking attention?
It's the off season. You know, he's guessing, doesn't have a lot of people tweeting about him right now.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. No strawberries in a diet? Who ever heard of that?
There are all kinds of things in the TB12 diet that you and I would never touch with a 10-foot pole. That's the tip of the iceberg as far as I'm concerned.
Just seems odd to say, well, I avoid strawberries at all costs.
Yeah.
Like, when did they become a bad thing?
I mean, like I said, you know, if we had avoided strawberries, maybe we'd still be playing quarterback at 45 years old.
Well, how about this? Maybe if he had eaten strawberries, he wouldn't have been a three- or four-time Super Bowl loser.
Oh, there you go.
Right? By the way, Jeopardy right now is must-watch with this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. He knows everything, and he knows it before the question is even asked.
The Brady of Jeopardy champions.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Glad you're with us. Do you dread going to the airport? Well, you're not alone. In fact, the average American would happily add 6.5 hours onto their traveling time if it meant they could avoid the airport.
and road trip to their destination instead. New research conducted, perhaps not surprisingly, on behalf of Ford, found that 3 in 4 Americans feel that road tripping is just simply a much more pleasant experience than flying. Why? According to the study, Americans' biggest grievances with flying are the delays, going through security, the cramped seats, and the inability to pack everything they'd like. And road trips are coming back in style, too, as over half of Americans polled said they're planning to take one this summer, with 6 in 10 Americans saying they are planning on taking more road trips in the next 5 years than they did in the past 5 years. Some of the reasons? The study found 69% like the scenic views, another 7 in 10 like the freedom to stop wherever. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a federal judge has ruled that President Trump can't block a subpoena from a House committee seeking financial records from his longtime accounting firm, a blow to his efforts to head off Democratic congressional investigators. The judge ruled that House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings was on solid legal footing when he issued a subpoena to the firm. Trump criticized the ruling.
We disagree with that ruling. It's crazy because you look at it, this never happened to any other president. They're trying to get a redo. They're trying to get what we used to call in school a do-over.
The subpoena seeks 8 years of financial statements and other records related to Trump, his real estate company, his foundation, and other entities belonging to the president. President Trump has directed former White House counsel Don McGahn to rebuff a congressional subpoena to testify today, escalating a standoff over a key witness to the president's efforts to curtail and shut down the special counsel's Russia investigation. The White House argues that Congress can't compel the president's senior advisors to testify about their official duties. Democratic Congressman David Cicilline of Rhode Island.
If Mr. McGahn does not appear, it will then establish a pattern from this president to not only have obstructed or attempted to obstruct justice as detailed in the Mueller report, but an ongoing effort to prevent the American people from knowing the full truth.
Judiciary Committee Democrats are expected to hold McGahn in contempt. An intense storm system is moving across the southern plains, spawning tornadoes that cause scattered damage and a deluge of rain. This woman was in her home in Mangum, Oklahoma, when a storm hit.
When it hit, we could hear the wind. We could hear glass flying.
The biggest threat now appears to be flash flooding from torrential rains. Well, if you want the highest quality of life possible, you may want to move to Zurich. According to a new ranking from Deutsche Bank that scored cities based on criteria such as consumer purchasing power, crime, healthcare, housing, pollution, and traffic, the Swiss city is number one, coming in close behind Wellington, New Zealand, and Copenhagen, as well as Edinburgh and Vienna. Two U.S. cities make the top 10 list, Boston at 8 and San Francisco at 9.
Ooh, if you had to choose one of those international places.
Oh, man.
Where would you go?
I haven't been to some of those places.
Yeah, me either.
I'd like to try Wellington or Copenhagen.
I'm with you on the New Zealand. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Quite the run of events for a high school kid in Texas. Joshua Suarez beat stage 4 testicular cancer and now is ready to graduate from Woodrow Wilson High School in Dallas. He told Fox 13, "To say that I've beaten cancer is to say, what can I not beat?" He added, "Going across that stage is more proof I've made it." He's come back from weighing just 140 pounds as well as 11 rounds of chemo and is now ready for adulthood. Diagnosed at age 15 and it had spread to his lungs. He knew something was wrong sophomore year when he couldn't catch his breath after a coughing fit. He told Fox 13 that God gives his hardest obstacles to his strongest soldiers. He said, "Whatever God has planned for me, I accept. If it's to fight, I'm fighting till the end. If it's not, I'm ready to go." Gets his diploma this Saturday. Next year, he's off to Albion College in Michigan to double major in art and pre-med. He wants to grow up, not surprisingly, be an oncologist. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.